Welcome to The Lead, the exclusive news magazine of Northeast Texas, here on your station, 88.9 KETR. Good morning. I'm your host, Scott Harvey. On today's program, we'll revisit a conversation from this summer with Noah Nelson, a 1973 graduate of East Texas State University who will speak at commencement ceremonies next weekend at A&M Commerce. And we're beginning to see a number of celebrations in the midst of this holiday season. Ben Kelso has our Friday feature on local Christmas parades. Those stories are coming up after we check out the week's headlines. You're listening to The Lead on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Public radio listeners are heavy users of bank services, home mortgages, and financial management planning. Are these listeners your customers? They can be. Become a KETR program underwriter. For more information, call 903-513-9684.
Democrats hope to take back the House next year, and one path to victory could be through Florida, depending on how lawmakers there reshape voting districts, or gerrymander.
It is a verb and a noun which has been abused a great deal. One person's gerrymander is the next person's court-ordered district.
The fight to reshape Florida's political map today on All Things Considered from NPR News.
This afternoon, beginning at 3 on 88.9 KETR.
It's Friday, and start your weekend off right with me, Big Chris, the host of Up Next. Of course, I'm going to have the best and newest music from the Texas A&M Commerce campus. And as usual, the Word on Campus feature. And you never know what Rewind songs I will play. Also, Ball and Chain Entertainment is in the building for an exclusive interview. They got that new dance song, Sidewind Stick It, and Misha has her new single, Miss Me.
Up next, tonight at 9, following Notably Texan, on your station, 88.9 KETR.
And welcome back to the program. It's now time to check out the headlines from this week. Roughly 500 jobs will be eliminated next spring following an announcement from Greenville's Newell Rubbermaid that the plant will close. The company has been operating in Greenville for more than 30 years. A spokesman says production will move to other U.S. plants, citing a changing economy. Matt Birch has been named the new police chief for the city of Reno in Lamar County. Birch has served with the Paris Police Department for 12 years. He replaces Joey McCarthy, who stepped down in September. Birch's first day as Reno chief is January 1st. The Hunt County Grand Jury on Friday. Last Friday, they issued multiple charges against Cody Robert Morris of Commerce along with Nicholas Allen Campbell of Florida. The pair was alleged to have robbed three Greenville businesses with a handgun and or BB pistol this fall. Friday is the final day to vote in the Clorox Power a Bright Future campaign, in which school districts can earn thousands in grant dollars, and Sulphur Springs was neck and neck with another school district in the state. Out of 514 that were seeking up to $50,000 for playground equipment. Individuals can vote through the Clorox website or through our website, ketr.org. The deadline is 11 p.m. Friday evening. The Southern District Health Division Awards Committee has named A&M Commerce Instructor Tara Teachin-Smith this year's University Health Educator of the Year. Dr. Smith is an assistant professor in the Department of Health and Human Performance. Also, news out of A&M Commerce, the Southern Association of Colleges and Schools Board of Trustees have voted to lift the warning issued this summer against the university. A peer review team made the judgment indicating that the university had not satisfactorily documented its compliance with the principles of accreditation. That warning was lifted on Monday. Well, we're starting to see crews de-icing area bridges as the colder weather coupled with recent rains bring poor driving conditions, and crews with the Texas Department of Transportation are advising that you slow down and use caution, especially over those bridges, as this winter season gets into full effect here. Carly Tyrone Harris was convicted on Wednesday in Hunt County of burglary of a habitation with intent to commit a sexual assault. A Greenville jury sentenced Harrison to 25 years in prison on Thursday. Harrison was said to have committed the crime at a Sale Street residence in Greenville in February. A teenager from Wiley has been sentenced to the maximum 20 years in prison for the fatal beating of a man during an argument about reckless driving. Seth Doris reportedly threw the first punch in the 2009 attack that killed Jonathan Bird of Wiley. Three other teens face trial next year. And a December 16th custody hearing is scheduled in the seizure of 9 dogs from a property near Royce City. The Hunt County Sheriff's Office, along with the SPCA, made the seizure on Wednesday after receiving word that the animals had been abandoned. That's a check of some of the news-making headlines this week. For more information on local news in Northeast Texas, you can visit our website, ketr.org. Coming up next, a conversation with the very talented Noah Nelson, a graduate of East Texas State University, who speaks at next weekend's fall commencement ceremonies at A&M Commerce. That's next. This is The Lead on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Hello, my name is David Herbaz, and I would like to invite you on an exciting musical journey through Latin-inspired melodies. Every Tuesday night at 9 on Latin Soul, only on your station, 889 KETR.
The happiest people I know are people who volunteer.
Kathy Torgerson took the skills she gained during her career in the travel industry and began a second career as a volunteer for RSVP. What are you going to do with your lifetime of experience? If you're 55 or older, go to getinvolved.gov or call 1-800-424-8867 to find out how you can volunteer. We have so much to offer, and our nation needs us. Make a difference for generations. This message is brought to you by the Corporation for National and Community Service.
And welcome back to The Lead here on your station, 88.9 KETR. This summer, the Texas A&M University Commerce family was pleased to welcome back to campus Noah Nelson, a 1973 graduate of East Texas State University. Nelson has had quite a career in the media and communications industry. He worked as a news correspondent for NBC for 13 years and covered stories like the 1992 presidential campaigns, the El Salvador Civil War, and the Guantanamo Cuba Detention Center, and in doing so, won numerous awards. A native of Dallas, Nelson now resides in Los Angeles, where he serves as a media relations, community relations, and voiceover talent through NLN Media. Back in July, A&M Commerce Public Relations Director Ashley Johnson and I sat down with Noah Nelson to discuss his illustrious career. Noah Nelson is joining us in studio. He is a 1973 graduate of East Texas State University, and right. We appreciate you coming by.
Thank you. My pleasure.
And you haven't been back since we were talking earlier about since 1989?
1989. And the campus looked a lot different back then. It looks great now.
What jumps out at you when you come into town?
The volume of new construction, the way the campus is laid out, just the energy, mostly, I feel. Even though it's summertime, I can tell that this place is a different place than it was in the early 70s when I went here.
Mm-hmm. Did you envision being in the position you are now, coming through the journalism program back in the early 70s?
I've thought about my school a lot over the years, and I can see this. I mean, I appreciate the opportunity to come back and be with you and talk about it. Yeah, I can see this. I mean, I it feels good to be here.
Tell us about what you're doing right now, and I know you've got your hands in a lot of hats right now, but tell us about some of the things that you're currently engaged with.
Right now I'm doing voiceovers, which is a completely different thing than the news that I had been doing for probably 30 years from local stations in Dallas and Cleveland and with NBC Network. But I do voiceovers now, that you hear. And I do animation projects also and video games. You know, it's a completely different side of my brain that I have to let loose in order to kind of get wacky and crazy and not be so serious, the serious news person. So, mm-hmm.
How did you get into something like that? How do you make that shift from being the serious news guy to the animation to the voiceover?
I think you have to go to the kid part of your brain, and and just pull the stick out, as they say, and just have fun with it. The one thing I try to remember is, you know, how can I make this fun for me? You know, when I get a script and I have to read it, you know, you're an actor sort of, but, you know, but you're also a person who's just having fun with what they've given you to work with. I mean, sometimes the dialogue is funny. If you're talking about animation projects, you know, that might appear on the Cartoon Network or whatever. I just did something on for the Cartoon Network on Thursday, and I had not seen that show before, but apparently some people watch, call it Adventure Time. And it's just this crazy animation thing where people don't even look like people. They just look like faces or blobs with faces on them. And it's an adult cartoon. It's not for kids. And I just had fun just being this monster voice on it, you know, just saying dumb stuff like, I'm going to bite your love handles off. You know, I mean, just, you know, nobody says that. But I got to say it and you know?
is that the voice you do you like to be the villain as a cartoon character?
They cast me as the villain. That's you know, what's the world trying to say? I get cast as a villain a lot, you know, when I do those things.
That's quite a change from reporting the news, and I know in some instances being on the front lines of wartime situations. Right. Tell us about some of those experiences.
Well, you know, at working for NBC, you know, you have to go where they send you, and I mean, I covered wars in Panama and Colombia and Nicaragua, places in Haiti, you know, stuff in Mexico. Mexico's a really violent country, you know, so those are some serious places where you have to be careful and, you know, kind of know the lay of the land, you know, not take chances that you don't have to take, but still do your job. You know, you got to stick it out there a little bit, and that's the exciting part of it, you know.
Do you question what goes through your mind as a news reporter thinking, is this story worth my life? I mean, when you go through that.
It's a funny thing that happens to you when you're in a danger zone like that. You think about doing your job. It's the same kind of thing I think that I've heard cops talk about. I don't mean to equate the importance of it, you know, just in terms of saving people's lives. But some part of you goes to the spot that says, you know, how can I do my job and be safe? You know, how do I protect my crew and still get the information? You have to think kind of in a three-dimensional way about the logistics of getting what you've gotten and putting it, you know, getting it back and putting it on the air. You've got to think about, like I said, the safety aspect. But you've also got to think about the information. Is it, you know, the content? And one of the things that I always thought was you don't know what the story is going to be till you go to it. And how can you, you know, sometimes you don't know you're in danger. And you got to size that up really fast. And that's part of what the experience kind of teaches you as you get, you know, more in touch with, like, is this a dangerous situation or not? You know, and am I going to take the chance? And sometimes you know, you choose to and sometimes you don't. I mean, I've taken some chances that I wish I hadn't. Nothing really bad ever happened. But, you know, a couple of times I've been in spots where I thought, you know, on another day I would have made a different decision.
You're listening to an interview with Noah Nelson, conducted this week in the KETR studios. Nelson is a 1973 graduate of East Texas State University. You've had a chance to speak with a lot of influential people through the years. Who comes to mind when you try to relive some of those experiences?
Well, the other day I was watching a documentary that someone made several years ago about Nelson Mandela. And when they let him out of prison, you know, I knew the story of Nelson Mandela in South Africa and the freedom movement there. And I, you know, he came to the United States when they let him out of prison. And all I really wanted to do was shake the man's hand and just have that little moment. You know, I'm not the kind of person that like falls in love with stars and, you know, and I'm not starstruck easily. But occasionally you'll know you'll have the chance to be around someone who has done something important and you know it's important. And there's a magic that they have about them, and I liked just being introduced to him.
Mm-hmm. How often do you equate some of the experiences back to your days here at East Texas State University, now A&M Commerce, just coming through the program and being able to use that experience toward where it's gotten you right now?
What I think is what happened to me here is I ran into some instructors that gave me a good push. One of the things that I think college has become is pretty vocationally driven. When I went to school, college was still kind of a place you found yourself. You didn't even know who you were when you went to school. You didn't even choose a major till maybe you were in your junior year. A lot of people just took electives and then decided what they wanted to be. College is now, you know what you want. You better put yourself on that path pretty fast. Mm-hmm. What happened while I was here is that I was lucky enough to be around some instructors who said, you know what, you have a talent for this. And you should think about, you know, using that in a valuable way. And I might have come to the same conclusions by myself, but it might have taken longer. I might have gotten discouraged, you know. So another thing that instructors do, teachers do, is inspire. And college can inspire you. So it's a place of inspiration, not just learning.
What do you say to those that are coming through a similar program and trying to walk maybe the same path?
You mean the news path?
Either the news path, the broadcasting path, journalism, really, all the sort.
Well, it's more complicated now, I think, and I think it's a harder business to be in, to crash into. It's much more competitive, and there are many more things you have to know. I mean, you know. But if you have something to say, you know, try to figure out what that is. You know, have a point of view. You know, understand the society in a broader way. And what I fear is that in some cases, people are becoming more narrow in their interests. They can't really discuss a wide variety of things. They can't talk about art and politics and music or travel or whatever, or history. And one of the things I think that makes you a good broadcaster and a good journalist is being broad-minded in the sense of your interests are broad. So because you're going to be thrown into those situations where you have to talk to all kinds of people and you have to have a little bit of knowledge, a working knowledge, and be able to dance on your feet pretty fast. And you can't do that if you're not a curious person.
Ashley, did you want to add anything?
Yeah. Why did you come to A&M Commerce originally? What directed that decision?
I think proximity. I mean, I grew up in Dallas and you know, back then, and I was looking around for a college I could afford. I'd gone up to North Texas, and that's, you know, not too far away either. And I looked at both schools and I said, this is my choice. I just like it here. I like the feeling of it better. And I was never sorry for that. You know, when I was in high school, I had, you know, ideas about, you know, going to Notre Dame or some, you know, big fancy, you know, school. But, you know, in reality, it comes down to, you know, what are your resources? You know, what makes sense for your life at that time? And this made sense for my life.
What outside of the classroom were you involved in on campus? What made your campus experience special?
Well, I wasn't one of those people who joined a lot of organizations and such. I kind of, you know, was one of those people that, you know, just kind of went their own way. And you could kind of do that back in those days. You weren't in a fraternity, what else were you going to do? I mean, and I wasn't a joiner in that sense. There were some organizations on campus that were started by the Counseling and Guidance Department that tried to bring at that time, the predominantly black and white student population together and try to understand each other. I was involved in that organization because I thought it was important that people understood each other and how very similar we are more than dissimilar.
Two questions that I like to ask every alum. One, what was the most impactful event in your life to date, personally, professionally? And the same goes for a person. Who's been the most impactful person in your life, personally or professionally?
A situation. This is going to be pretty, you know, schmaltzy, but, you know, meeting my wife was an important thing. I don't think you can really know yourself till you kind of, like, combine with another person. And I think that she's kind of helped me understand myself a lot better because she doesn't let me get away with anything. You know, she's so it's like, that's just wrong. Or like, she goes, that's just right. You did good, you know, I mean, whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, and we do that for each other, you know. So I think, you know, my wife is an important person in my life.
What about an event?
I think the decision at last, when I was about 25, I think I'd been kind of playing around in my with my career. I'd been on radio a little bit, but I hadn't been, like, really serious. And when I got to be 25, I went to California to hang out with, you know, some friends of mine. And I said, I'm getting too old for this. And I decided to drive back from Los Angeles to Dallas, and I had this little green sports car, and I said, I can drive it without stopping. And in the middle of the desert in Arizona, I looked out of the window in the middle of the night, and I saw this apparition running alongside of my car. And I don't believe in ghosts, and I saw this thing, and I said, you know what? It's time to stop all this bad behavior and get serious about your career and about your life. And that's, you know, so it's kind of a personal story. I'm sorry it's not, you know, but it was a moment of clarity for me. So
it's good to get the perspective of someone that's been through in your shoes and really all the successes and how it can revert back to East Texas State. And I appreciate you taking the time to out of your day to come by the studio and interview with us.
You're welcome.
Noah Nelson, a 1973 graduate of East Texas State University, speaking with Ashley Johnson and I during a July interview. When we come back, we have our Friday feature for you. Don't go away. You're listening to The Lead. This is your station, 88.9 KETR.
This is Sherry Gardner. Public radio listeners are heavy users of bank services, home mortgages, and financial management planning. Are these listeners your customers? They can be. Become a KETR program underwriter. For more information, call 903-513-9684.
This is Ludacris. Being a teenager can be tough, especially if you feel alone. Whether you're having a hard time or just thinking about leaving home, the National Runaway Switchboard can help.
More than 1.6 million kids run away from home each year. If you or someone you know is having a rough time at home, in school, or on the street, the National Runaway Switchboard can help.
Call 1-800-RUNAWAY or live chat with someone who's ready to help you by visiting 1-800-RUNAWAY.org.
And welcome back to The Lead. It's now time for our Friday feature. It's been a mainstay in the Northeast Texas region for years, and each community looks to make theirs bigger and better every time. Ben Kelso recently attended the Commerce Christmas Parade, which was one of several scheduled for this weekend.
It's the holiday season once again, and with it comes cold weather, family gatherings, and Christmas lights. It's also the perfect time to show your holiday spirit and come out to one of the staples of the holiday season. Can you hear them coming?
Did you see? Look at Santa over there! You see him?
The Christmas parades all over Northeast Texas are back and better than ever, and we've got all the details for you. To kick off the Christmas parades in the region was Commerce, who had a great turnout. The only problem was figuring out what people enjoyed about it the most.
Santa!
Looking at the floats and waving at people.
Walking in it!
I can't wait to the parade to get candy.
The parade route was changed from years past, starting at the downtown farmers market before winding down the road and ending on the Texas A&M Commerce University campus across from the Alumni Center on Stonewall Street. And just because the parade had ended there didn't mean that the night had. The route changed to end at the university and to encourage those who attended the parade to also come to the university for the third annual Winter Wonderland, which was a great improvement to the parade, according to most.
I think any time that you can promote something with the college and the community, you guys are doing all right.
Yeah, it truly was a wonderland, with everyone's spirits high and activities for all that included ornament and gingerbread housemaking and a snow globe photo booth. And for anyone who wanted to get away with their family or a special someone, there were also horse carriage rides given. The holiday spirit was truly in the air and can only be a sign of good things to come for the other parades planned around the area. One of which has an interesting requirement to even be entered into the parade.
Well, every float and every vehicle has to have 1,000 lights on them.
That's right. As detailed by the president of the Paris Downtown Association, Carrie Daniels, at Paris's second annual Lighted Christmas Parade, they are trying to fill the sky with lights and holiday spirit in what is expected to be one of the biggest turnouts in years. The parade is being held Saturday, December 10th, and starts at 6 p.m. With the theme of a magical Christmas, Bonham residents are planning on doing just that and truly making it a Christmas to remember. A grand turnout is expected for the parade that is set to include the Bonham High School Band, lots of floats and cars, groups walking and animals, according to Bonham Chamber volunteer Judy Keene. And she also revealed other plans for the evening.
At the end of the parade, Santa will be at the Bonham Visitor Center to talk to the children.
So there will be something that all can enjoy at the parade and events when they begin at 6 p.m. on Friday, December 9th. A true sense of a magical Christmas spirit has been increasing to new heights in Sulphur Springs the past several years since the format changed to a lighted parade. City Manager Maxwell thinks the reason is fairly obvious.
Oh, it's the lights. You know, it creates, like I said, a little bit of magic, and the kids just love to come out and see the lights going down the road. And the floats are getting pretty imaginative and in some cases pretty elaborate.
The parade will be held on Saturday, December 10th, beginning around 5:30 to 5:45, or whenever it gets dark enough to begin. The parade is planned to start at Buford Park by the high school and travel east on Conley to the town square, where it will head north on Church Street before taking a left on Houston and ending back at the park. For KETR News, I'm Ben Kelso, and have a Merry Christmas.
And thank you very much, Ben. Other Christmas events this weekend include, in Delta County, Christmas in the Park at Doctors Creek Park from 6 until 10 p.m. both Friday and Saturday, with the Delta County Chamber's Christmas Parade set for Monday, December 12th, beginning at 5 p.m. Other parades this weekend include Wolf City's, which was rescheduled from last weekend. Activities begin at 2 p.m. Saturday with their Winter Festival and the parade at around 5 p.m. The Quinlan Parade begins at 2 p.m. Saturday. In Roy City, residents can view their city's parade at 4:30 p.m. Saturday, and the Farmersville Parade starts at 6:30 Saturday afternoon. Our Friday feature airs each Friday during the lead at 10 a.m. and again at 4:45 p.m. during All Things Considered here on your station. And if you have a Friday feature story idea for the program, we'd love to hear from you. You can send your ideas to scott@ketr.org. Let's take a break and back to wrap things up after this. On your station, 88.9 KETR.
I'm Jared Knight, General Manager at KETR. There's a lot more to me, though. In fact, there's a lot more to all the people that you hear each day on KETR. And there's a lot more people than you might think, too. You can now read all about us, see our pictures, or link up with us via email, Facebook, Twitter, or Google Plus on our new profile pages when you click on Hosts at the top of the page on the new KETR.org.
Welcome back to The Lead on your station, 88.9 KETR. Let's now run down the community events calendar for Northeast Texas. And aside from the Christmas parades, which we've already mentioned, let's talk about some other activities. There are certainly a lot on our events calendar here. Ladonia Trade Day is Saturday. The Mount Zion Ladies Church Mouse Bazaar is at the Mount Zion Church in Commerce on Saturday. Also on Saturday, the Back Road Bandits Band performs at the Java Joint in Cooper. And the Kavanaugh United Methodist Church in Greenville performs Handel's Messiah. That's on Sunday, December 11th. You can learn more on area events at our website, ketr.org. That's going to do it for today's installment of The Lead. We hope you enjoyed our conversation with Noah Nelson, a 1973 graduate of East Texas State University, who will speak at next weekend's commencement ceremonies at A&M Commerce. We also hope you enjoyed our Friday feature from KETR intern Ben Kelso on Christmas parades. And there's more information on parades at our website. A lot to get to this weekend. That's ketr.org/events. We're back same time next Friday at 10 a.m., and our show re-airs at 9 a.m. on Saturdays. And remember, you can now hear archives of this show on our website, ketr.org. Coming up next is Texas Matters. This has been The Lead, the exclusive news magazine of Northeast Texas, on your station, 88.9 KETR. I'm your host, Scott Harvey. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend.